This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's podcast, Keith Axum.
Hello, this is Keith Axum. I'd like to thank A History with God Ministries for trusting me at the helm this week. I'd also like to extend a welcome to all the partners, members, subscribers, readers, listeners, as well as any first-time listeners just joining in. Sitting with me today is my lovely wife, Teresa. Hi, hon.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Amen.
Anyway, we have a little bit of a story, don't we?
Because
we're a little different than we were a few years ago. We both got saved at the same church, Bible-believing church, preach the word verse by verse, very good biblical foundation. Read through it, I think, 3 times in a row after I got saved. I read the Bible through 3 times straight. It was exciting, but I think something was missing there. We kind of both knew something was missing. I remember reading the word one time and just thinking, why doesn't this any of this Book of the Acts stuff happened to me, and just kind of being kind of disgusted in a godly jealousy kind of way, like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Why haven't I seen any of this stuff? Why haven't I seen any healings? Why haven't I seen a lot of these things that are happening in the Book of Acts, these miraculous things? Well, we had kids, and the church turned out to be a little far for us, so we tried to get a little closer and bounced around churches for a few times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really click with any of those things. We weren't getting what we needed. I remember praying, Lord, am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to start a church around here? Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
It didn't seem like there was anything around.
I remember I did not want to be a pastor's wife. I didn't want to be the wife of, like, who wants to, I have to speak. Time to talk.
Yeah, we bounced around churches a little bit, and we found a church that we went into, and people were, of all things, doing that thing that drove us nuts. Kind of, it was, like, scary. We went in, and I remember saying, is that what I think it is? Are they, like, speaking in tongues or something? And it's like, I think so. And we went there a few weeks and
loved it,
yeah. It seemed like things were really hot. Well, we were there a couple months, and then at the end of the summer, it came time to decide, and I was like, well, do you want to stay here? And you were like, I really don't think I can handle it here. And I was like, do you want to go back to the last church? And you were like, I really don't think I want to go back to the last church. Well, we got to go someplace. And I remember just praying that the Lord would tell you where we were supposed to go. And the next week in church, you were sitting there and you were crying next to me. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, the Lord just told me that we should be here now. This is like our home church. And I was like, okay, thanks, Lord.
Yes, well, I had a list of questions, and
they were being
answered.
The
pastor was answering every single one to the T, and I just knew that this was our home.
Amen. It's really been a journey for us, because we've just learned different things as we went along. Getting baptized in the Spirit was one, and speaking in tongues, and that was a revelation for us. We were not familiar with that. So that was one thing. And then I think we just came to a point in our lives where we felt like we weren't having the abundant life that the Bible talks about. It's like, where is this abundant life? We had some different struggles with some different things, and it was just like, where is this life? Where are we? Where we're ever, like, more than conquerors, or where we are walking in victory. You know, the word says he's always bringing us to a place of victory. We came to one pastor who, it turns out, really felt he knew a lot about healing, and he hooked us into some people who really knew a lot about healing, and we just started to get really excited. You know, in Ephesians, it says we've already got it. Everything for godliness, we really have everything that we need, and I think that that is really what's different in a lot of the modern churches today is that we have to do XYZ to really please God and get in God's good graces. And what we have learned over the past 4 or 5 years now is that God just really loves us and he just adores us just because. It's not based on what we do and it's not based on our performance, but God just loves us because he loves us. He loves us because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, and that was more than enough, taking all the sins of the world on himself. And because we trust in that, then God loves us, and he's got our pictures on his mantle and those of believers everywhere. Now we really know who we are and how much God loves us, and now we're able to move forward, and we know some of the things which the Word says about just walking in victory. And that has to do with how we perceive ourselves. It has to do with renewing our minds. It has to do with how we speak about things, and ultimately just what the Word says about who we are and really what our identity is. What would you say your identity is in Christ?
Well, I'll give you a few things of who I am in Christ. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am always triumphant. I am a new creation. I have been reconciled with God. Of course, I am the righteousness of God, and I want you to know that I remember Frank telling me that I was the righteousness of God for years. Uh-huh. I was too intimidated to ask him. I have no idea what you're talking
about. Frank said you're the righteousness of God. I'm very surprised. That doesn't sound like him at all.
I really had no idea what that meant. And basically, it just means that I am right with God. And it's not about me. It's about what he's done. And just like you were talking about, we've had a long journey and certainly have not arrived. But I'm at least moving with my walk with the Lord. And I think for so many years, I just felt stuck. I have always said to myself, you know, where am I going to go? Just like Peter, I loved the Lord. I had no desire to go in the world, but at the same time, I felt that there was more. You know, I had read the Bible over and over again, and honestly, if Scripture had told me, look, Jesus came, he died for you, you're going to go to heaven in the end, but right now you're in this world, so suck it up and deal with it, and I'll be with you, but I'll really be with you at the end, you know, in heaven, I would have done that. That really, I was okay with that. Praise God, I'm going to heaven. But there are so many promises in the Word. I just could not overlook that. And maybe two of basic ones was in Psalm 37, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. And of course, John 10:10, the devil comes to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And Wow, that one just, it almost haunted me. In my little prayer closet, there's a window and I look out at this tree and I would thinking of that verse over and over again. Where's that abundant life? Where's that abundant life? I loved God. I had a great husband, my children, a great church. That wasn't the issue, but there was something not right. There was something more, and I felt like I was missing it, and no, someone was not telling me, or I needed to find it. And I can remember being in church a few years back, and the pastor had said how much God loves you, and you need to go and find that out. Find out how much God loves you. And, you know, I mean, here I was saved for 15 plus years at that point, and I just, that really resonated. It was like a little light bulb that came on, like, I'm going to search that. I'm going to find out how much God really loves me. And
just when you think you know something.
Right. And I, you know, I mean, the first step for that was that I finally admitted to the Lord that God loves us, but like more in a generic way. It needed to be very personal and intimate. And that is what I lacked. God did not love me enough to provide those inner needs that I had, whether it be emotional, financial, whatever they were. That was what I was seeking after. And that was the fear that I had thought that maybe I was not going to attain that. God loved the great men and women of the world. He provided for them. He did those things and gave joy to them. But to me, who was always such a sinner, who was always messing up, that was like, not to you.
Yeah, the cross covered everyone else, but not you.
Right. And I was very good with just making my daily routine all about repentance. We were kind of laughing the other day in the car, and we were talking about how repentance was almost like a part-time job. It was like a religion for me.
Repentance was my religion, I think you said.
Right, right. And listen, repentance is important, but it just became a vicious cycle in my life of, okay, I'm up. Good morning, Lord. I love you. Now I've messed up. Now, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then I would have to go through this process of grieving, and Lord forbid if you and I got into an argument or if I yelled at my children, that would be like a 2 or 3 days of mourning.
We've never gotten in an argument, have we?
Well, just the very few times that we have. Oh, okay. I really had
right.
to...
Yeah, just making sure.
I know. It hasn't been a lot, but when we have gotten into an argument, you know how bad I have felt. And I had to put sackcloth and ashes on me and go through a process of several days to get over that. That wasn't fun. That really wasn't fun. The enemy always put me in a state of, you're not good enough. You're always messing up. God is disappointed in you. You're not going to get that prayer answered. You read the Bible for an hour, but, you know, you should have read it for an extra 30 minutes. And you fasted, but why didn't you fast for longer? And you did this, but how come you didn't do that? And it was just always picking at myself, never doing well enough where I could feel some kind of level of peace.
Yeah, and the devil always gets you that way, doesn't he? He'll point to your flesh. He will not point to your spirit, obviously. God is always going to say, hey, your spirit is perfect. But the devil is always going to point out your inadequacies in the flesh. So even though you knew you were saved and you knew the word and you really knew the Lord, you still felt like there was condemnation.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
You felt like you just weren't going to do it right, and that God wasn't going to have favor on you because you weren't doing it right.
And I was very good with not only allowing the enemy to speak words of condemnation and me believing it, but I was really, really good at talking bad about myself all the time. And I remember our church went to a conference, and that conference... there was a speaker there, and he talked about the power of
just our words. Yeah.
He kind of gave an illustration about these two glasses of water and how they did this demonstration where, not in the conference, but as a scientist or whatever, talked to these two glasses of water for several weeks. And to one glass of water, it would talk about, you are lovely and you are beautiful and you are worthy. And to the other glass of water, they would say, you wretched, ugly, terrible thing. And believe it or not, after a few weeks, the wretched, putrid glass that was talked to began to break down and almost kind like a rotting water, and yet the other one was beautiful. And we kind of know that just by, as we're told, you know, when you're pregnant, it's the importance of speaking to the baby and the power of those words. And that just, wow, I've never really heard anything like that in that way. And I said to myself, you know, maybe I'll try to talk better about myself. Maybe I'll try to talk better about the day. You know, little things that people were telling me, you know, just get up and instead of talking about how you feel, why don't you just start to say, this is going to be a great day.
Speak blessings
over yourself. And thank you, Jesus, for everything. And just start speaking thanks. Don't always look at how things seem and talk about how you're feeling that day. And, you know, it was almost kind of like a test drive, really, for myself. But I started to do that. And I'm not going to say that, like, in a week. But within that year, I really saw some improvements. And I, looking back now, what I was doing was I was beginning to renew my mind. I was renewing my mind to what the word said I was, and not looking at how I was feeling, who I thought I was. Not that those things didn't come up, but I just did not verbalize them. I made the choice to speak words of life. And of course, we know that in Proverbs 18:22, it says that there's power in our mouths. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. And that is incredibly true. And the whole word of God is about not how you're going to get God to move on your behalf. And this is, I think, where we used to struggle. We used to think, well, you know, I have to read my Bible more. I need to fast.
Right.
I need to do all of these things, and then God will move.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that we really learned was that God already moved through Jesus.
Yep.
All that has been finished work. And now it's my job as a believer to take his word by faith and renew my mind. all of just those two little things, taking it by faith and renewing my mind, that takes some effort. It takes a choice on your part. It takes effort on your part. It takes practice. And there are going to be times where that condemnation will come up. And it's just, again, it's one of those, by practice, you get better at it. I had to really, a friend of mine told me once, we were talking about the kids, and I would get really upset, you know, if I had a bad day with the kids or if I yelled at them, I'd feel really guilty. And she would tell me, you know what, look at yourself and say, hey, you know what, instead of flipping out five times, you only did it once today or whatever, or twice, you know what I mean? And even though I'm not saying that it was good any of those times, but begin to put yourself in a direction of encouraging yourself is the point. You need to begin to move somewhere.
You know, I think the devil follows us around with a little notepad sometimes. Here's the things we say. It's like, oh, really? Oh, I didn't know about that one. Okay, let's ask them about that one. Put this one on the list. And we open the door there. We give them an opportunity. It's like, I'm really not good at this. When we put ourselves down like that, it's like we're cursing ourselves, basically. I think it opens the door. When we speak God's words, we speak what He says about us. You know, Mark 11:23-24. Speak to the mountain. This is what Jesus told us to do. We speak to the problem, speak to the situation, and get that to move on our behalf, because our words do have power. That's one of the things that gets you on the way to having that abundant life, is just speaking what God says over yourself. People are, they have no problem talking badly about themselves or about where they work or about their situation, or, you know, this is horrible, we're never going to get out of this, I'm never going to be healed. And just those words, I think they just give an open pathway for the devil, because the devil is always trying to build a case against us. All of this is a process, and for us, it's been maybe 5 years now of really knowing that it was all done for us. It is finished. Jesus is seated, and we are seated in heavenly places with Him, and that He has prepared good works for us beforehand, that we will walk in them. And when I look at that, those works, almost, they're not even works, because He's prepared the way. And all we're doing is doing what He said to do, and He's already prepared those works. It's all just continuing to walk with the Lord and being with Him where He really has us and where He wants us to be. That is a good place. And just being open to what He has for us. Mm. You know, we all slip, don't we? We all just mess up. You know, things are going well for a while, and you're cruising, and things seem like they're really good, and you've got it all together, and now you're starting to see the fruits of all these things you've been speaking and believing on, and something will happen. And sometimes we just take a little step back, and it's like, ooh, maybe I did something wrong here, or maybe I offended the Lord, or did something that I shouldn't have done. And it's very easy to slip into those old condemning habits. It's something that we all have to watch out for. But we also know that God doesn't really condemn us at all. That just comes back to what one of your favorite topics is, just knowing that God loves you. He just loves you. That's what you had said earlier in the podcast, and you've got to get that into your system, because without that, forget it. I think people just cruise in and out of churches and la la la, we come Sunday and everything's fine and we worship and we go home and something happens and it's just right back to square one, and the feelings will come and they'll lie to you. And that's why it's so important to do what you said, to renew your mind and get to that place where you just know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're loved. And coming to that place, it takes some time, doesn't it?
Yes, and I'm a very practical person. Don't just tell me that God loves you and He'll bless you and la 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 and all these promises. I need to know, how do you get from A to B? And it certainly didn't take overnight to do that. And it always comes back to that foundation of love and knowing how God loves you. And maybe not everyone struggled with this, but this was just something for me. We went through a period with your business and how that was like a bit of a hit there. And And it was like an everyday, hun, can I go to the store and buy bread and basic things? I just kept thinking, well, you know, I mean, gosh, Lord, you love me, but I can't, you know, and you say that, you know, God supplies all of our needs. And
I can't buy bread.
But I can't buy bread. And people I know that don't even believe in God are helping family members and stuff. Where I'm like, well, wait a minute, I'm the Christian. I want to be the one that's going to help them. And yet we're struggling in these areas. It was just basic, everyday life things that we were struggling with. And I questioned that. This came back to that foundation of, do you love me? And this came back to, where is that abundant life? And about the desires of my heart. And, you know, I'd always think back, well, how dare you have any desires in your heart? You need to pick up your cross and you need to suffer with me. And then I would feel really terrible because I loved Jesus. I did. I did want to suffer with him, but there was just something really missing in me. I remember one time this was years and years ago when we were first married. We were listening to someone on the way to church, and the pastor was just talking about how he sees some guy drive up next to him, and the guy kind of tells him off or whatever. And the guy's like, what church do you fellowship at? You know, and no one wants to fellowship with people that are mean and grouchy and
snappy idiots. Dopey.
Yeah, it just always comes back to love.
Just knowing who you are, knowing your standing with God, knowing where you are, that when you blow it, which we always do on a regular basis, hopefully less and less and less, and I believe that we blow it less and less and less, but we're always becoming until we go into glory. I mean, we're not finished works. Who began a good work in us will continue to do it until the day of the coming of Christ Jesus. So we are becoming, and I think we're getting it. You know, we're getting better with what we say. We're getting better at not blowing it, but it's a process.
Right.
And so for people who are listening, who are thinking, how do I do it? I think you just really dive into the Word and what you said, find out how much God loves you and get that revelation. And God has also given us practical steps to lead fruitful, successful, healthy lives. He's made the way for all that, but he's given us the authority. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's not healing now. He did it. He did it 2,000 years ago. You know, he's already provided. He's already given us the abundant life. He's given us wealth. He became poor that we might become rich. He's made the way in every way that it could be made. And now he's saying, accept it. Walk in it. It's not what you do for me. It's what I did for you. And now you're going to do some things for me because I've prepared the way. Walk in it. The way has been made for us. So it's all just walking in that.
And this is how, for me, it may not be the same for everyone, but this is how I began to take those steps to have that revelation of love, which is the absolute foundation for your walk. It doesn't matter how much you know about anything. It's all about God's love for you, and having that revelation, you can begin to be the light of the world. And for me, what I did was just start taking some of those favorite scriptures that I had, Psalm 91, Psalm 103, the book of Ephesians, 1 John is an excellent book on love, and I would read them out loud every day. Like Ephesians chapter 1, I read that book out loud for like a year every day, and every time it said our or my, or I would put my name in it, and I would just speak it over and over and over again, and I would just speak those words. I wouldn't just read it, I would read it out loud. And you know what? You just have to begin to take things by faith. And Andrew Womack gave a great definition of what faith is. He said that faith is your positive response to the grace that God has already given you. Faith is your positive response to the grace that he is already giving you. You have grace through what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus took everything for you. He's paid the price for you. All the work has been finished with Jesus. And now you just have to take it by faith. You don't take it by how your world is looking at the time. You don't take it on how you're feeling for that day in your body, in your thoughts. You just take it because that's what the Word says. And something that really, really helped me was that there are spiritual laws that God set in the world. You know, we have the law of gravity. We know that if we climb up a building and we jump off of it without a parachute, we're going to hurt ourselves, die. It's, you know, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But there's a spiritual law, and one of those are, again, back to the speaking of the mouth, just the fruit of the lips. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. When we mess up, sin is just missing the mark. I used to think, you know, I've sinned, and now God is really going to get me. Then I would go through a process of fear and condemnation. But I learned that, you know what, God, He loves me. He already loves me. Even if I've messed up, I'm still the apple of His eye. He's got my picture in His wallet. That just really comforted me. But it also comforted me to know that in Deuteronomy, it talks about, I have given you a choice to choose life or death, blessings or cursings. Therefore, choose life. God has given us as believers a choice. We have a choice of how we're going to wake up, what we're going to say, what we're going to do for that day, how we're going to react to certain things. Choose life. And I know that, like, if you're going to make the choice of being a Christian that is just living a life that's like, well, you know what, I'm under grace, and therefore I can go ahead and just live however I want to, because I certainly, some people may think if you are taught grace that that's what's going to happen. No, if you're going to live a sloppy Christian life, the devil is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. You are opening the door to the enemy. You do not want to do that. God is giving you a choice. Choose life. Choose love. Choose right things. And that just takes off that pressure of, I'm going to be punished. It's a spiritual law of doing the right thing.
Yep.
You know, don't think that every time you mess up that God is going to strike you down. This is what I used to think. God loves me, but He's going to get you. He's not going to fellowship with you. And that just condemned me. That was a horrible, terrible feeling, because how could I ever be good enough? And you know what? Here's the truth. You'll never be good enough. But Jesus was good enough. Jesus took your place of judgment. And you want to begin to see yourself as God sees you. And you could say you're a lot of things in Christ. I have a list of a ton of different things. But again, it comes back to having that revelation of God. And you know, it took me months of just saying it over and over and over again, of just out loud reading scriptures. And one summer night, I woke up in a sweat, and it wasn't a hot flash. It was just this, oh my gosh, God loves me. It was just, I don't know if you remember that. I was so excited.
Yeah, I do.
That God loves me personally, and that God wants me to do well in life. He wants for me to be able to pay my bills, not for me to sit on the couch and watch as the stomach turns while He somehow miraculously puts money on a tree. No, but He wants me to do the right things. He wants me to move forward. He wants me to be in health.
Amen. It comes back to renewing your mind,
renewing
your speaking, renewing your tongue, and knowing how much God really loves us. That's the foundation. That's the foundation for any growth.
And just begin to take little steps. If you mess up, repent. Repentance is actually, it's a beautiful gift from God. It's not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing to repent. It's not that God doesn't forgive you. He already has forgiven you on the cross. That's already been taken care of. But repentance is for your sake. It clears your conscience. It makes your heart right with God.
When we mess up, like we always do, you just repent quickly and move on. And to God, it's like it never happened.
Right, and just receive His forgiveness
It's our right, yeah.
And just say to yourself, I'm going to do, you know what, I'm going to, sorry about that, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to continue to move forward. And little steps. It's like that movie, Bill Murray, I'm sailing, yeah. You know, little steps.
What about Bob?
Right, what about Bob?
Yeah.
You know, encourage yourself. It's okay to do that. It's okay to begin to build yourself up. You're going to need to. You're going to need to do that for
yourself. Then
you
too can be on the prow of the boat saying, I'm sailing. You never saw What About Bob? You got to see it. It's a classic movie. Well, that was great. Thanks, listeners. We appreciate that you are listening. Any feedback you have would be welcome. And we just really hope we've encouraged you some way, that God really does love you and just adores you. So get that into your system and step out in that. Keith and Teresa Axum here, signing off. Just remember, Jesus is Lord, and stay blessed. Amen. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8 verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.